North Rock Podcast.
So if you're going through a school, and then my second year, I was just like really confused for a while because I was like, okay, I'm not that, but who am I? And so over the course of the year, God just took me and he said, look at all these things that I've gifted you with. Look at who you are. This is who I've created you to be. I want you to be that person. Because when you're that person, you're exactly who I want you to be. And so it was just crazy what he did in my life of giving me that identity. Because I didn't even know how to connect to people because I didn't know who I was. And he's just showed me so many different areas in my life that I can connect with people. And it's just like, I would have never known that if God didn't give it to me. And so one thing that I've learned in Echo is that my identity isn't in anything that I've done, anything that I've said, anything that anyone I've hung around. My identity can only be found in God.
God spends a lot of time in the Bible telling us who we are. It's like he knew that we would doubt who that was from time to time. It's as if he saw it coming, that we'd spend our whole lives searching for what our identity, what our real name was, and that there'd be many moments in our lives where we'd let different kinds of names define us. When we've looked in the mirror, compared ourselves to pictures, and heard the name ugly. When we've been left by loved ones, people we trusted once, and heard the name unworthy. When we've been drowning in discouragement, living in a seemingly never-ending crisis, and heard the name forgotten. When we've had our hopes up and hearts open only to be brought down by closed doors, and we've heard rejected. When we look for infinite affirming love through lesser physical fleshly versions, when we give it away or when it was stolen, and we hear impure, we hear garbage. When we go to other vices to ease our pain, and we hear addict, we hear forever broken. When we feel like we're living in the shadow of someone else's calling, and we hear second place. When our pain cripples us to a point where we don't even know how to let others in, and we hear lonely. When our past seems too gross for others to forgive, and we hear disgusting, it's overwhelming. The voices we're constantly hearing, it's suffocating. This air of constant critique and comparing, and it's sort of amazing, the people whose voices I've allowed to identify me. The power I've given to my past, to my mirror, and to my surroundings, and enabled them to identify me. The amount of years I've spent living up to whatever others say over me. But God says something else about me. It's like he knew there would be other voices, so he wrote his voice down in a timeless book of truths that would remind us over and over again in the moments when lies would block his truths and somehow make us forget. I'm going back to the source, not the people I've allowed to represent God to me, but the actual, literal, tangible words that he has written down for me. And there's some other names he's given to me. John 15:15, he calls me friend. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he calls me chosen. Ephesians 2:10, he calls me his workmanship. He calls me his art. He calls me handmade. He calls me purposed and fashioned for good things. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he calls my body a temple. He calls it the residence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he calls me his messenger to the world. Galatians 3:26, he calls me his child. Romans 5:8, he calls me greatly loved. John 8:36, he calls me free, free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he calls me brand new. And it's amazing how different these names are from the ones I'm used to listening to. And in my journey to discover who I really am, in my battle to uncover the truths of myself, I've learned something new about my name. And now this is what I am certain of. My name is not the name the world calls me. My name is not the name my past calls me. My name is not even the name my own mirror calls me. But my name is the name I answer to. And I can choose today from this moment forward to answer to a new name. When I hear lonely, that's not me. When I hear disgusting, that's not me. When I hear unworthy, I don't even look over my shoulder. When I hear broken, they must have confused me. Please look elsewhere. When I hear ugly, abandoned, useless, forgotten, I figure someone just has to remind them. Maybe those were my old names, but they are no longer the names I answer to. My name is the name I'm going to spend living up to. And if these other voices are not saying the same thing that the truth is, I look in my mirror and I repeat this. They have no right to be speaking to you. When you stop answering to your old names, they stop having power over you. The names that my Father, eternity's author, the world's creator, has called me are the only names I answer to. When I hear friend of God, that's my name. God's workmanship, that's my name. Chosen, that's my name. Loved, wanted, created with a purpose, that's my name. God's temple, that's my name. God's messenger, that's my name. Free, that's my name. Child of God, you must be looking for me. Greatly loved, you must be calling for me. Brand new, that is my name. That is the name I answer to. The enemy has no power here. And perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love has named me and you. What is your new name? What is stirring up inside of you when you hear these words, that his word, that the word has proclaimed? What do you know is the name God is calling you? Maybe it's not the name you grew up with. Maybe it's not the name your old friends associate you with. Maybe it's not the name you spent your whole life identifying with. But it is your new name. So when the enemy tries to get to you, it's the name you introduce yourself with. As for me, my name is forgiven. My name is free. My name is brand new, loved, wanted, child of God, created with a purpose. And it's been a pleasure to meet you.
These lights are bright. Okay, so when I graduated high school, I wanted to be a mechanic, and didn't really work out. Never really found a fit. Wanted to be like my dad. But in that time, God got a hold of me, and I just started running after God. And in that time, I just started doing all the things that I thought that I should be doing. I changed the way I dressed, the music I listened to. I read my Bible every day. I went to Bible study groups. I looked into Bible colleges. I even changed my job. But none of that really dealt with my heart. And I heard God knocking on my heart saying, we need to deal with this. And I needed people who were going to speak the truth to me, even if it stung a little. And I needed to make a commitment to walk it out. And so the NECO just landed in my lap. And God told me to go. And with the support of my church and my family, I was able to. And during my first year, God started showing me the stones in my heart. Things like anger, pride, self-righteousness, pain, insecurities, depression, fears, sexual lust. And it took me a while to accept that these were actually in my heart because I spent so much time trying to cover it up. And to the point where I even believed the fake version of me that I had put on. And so after fighting tooth and nail with Debbie my first year, I took it to God. So I took it to God one night when we were cleaning the church, and I just was wrestling. He was just showing me, like, this is why you do this, and he was just showing me. And I'm like, all right, God, fine, I suck. You win. You know, I'm like, what do you want from me, okay? So I went home just depressed and sad, like, who is God? Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these doubts hit me, and I got home, and my grandmother, it was just after my birthday, my grandmother had sent me this package with a scripture in it and a note and all this, basically saying that this was a promise that God gave to her over her family, and that I'm an answer to that promise. It's the scripture, Ezekiel 36:26. Says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. Right? And so I'm sitting there, and I just read that, and it just broke me. And right there, God started to take that heart of stone, all those things he showed me, the same night that he showed me all these things. And not only has God taken my heart of stone, but he's also given me a heart of flesh. Throughout my second year, God has shown me what he created me to be, you know? When we were in Honduras, I literally saw suffering children, and I cried, I'll be honest. And that just broke me. But at the same time, in the midst of that, God just told me, this is the heart for healing that I'm giving you. Not only did he heal my heart, but he gave me a heart for healing. And so now, I feel pain. I care about those around me. And I'm actually able to love those around me. And so I am eternally grateful for my fearless leader and this awesome team for praying me through it all. And my family for supporting me. I couldn't have done it without all of you. So thank you.
They're good, aren't they? I'm going to ask the second years to join me on stage. You know how sometimes you meet people and you just click and there's an automatic love and it just feels like you found family? This is not the group. If I'm honest, that is not the case in this situation. You know, we came off of my first couple of years with that first group and felt pretty good about it. And this group walked in and I thought, I'm like, maybe I was supposed to leave. I don't know. I'm missing something. But sometimes we're called to just stand and be that brick wall that somebody bangs their head against until their heart softens. I used to tell Austin the first year because he was so frustrated with me. And I said to him, I know, baby, but someday you're going to really love me. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, I do. And then I go home and say, Jesus, please let him love me. I said it with more confidence than I really felt. But this group, I feel like because of that, because we didn't walk in and just automatically love each other and accept each other, has probably more authenticity and intimacy in so many ways because it's all been put out on the table. And they put it out on the table themselves and the others hold them accountable. They've apologized to each other. I've apologized to them. We've loved each other. We've forgiven each other. We've prayed for one another. We've cheered for one another. And God's done a mighty work in this very strong group of leaders, every one of them. One of the things that, as I was praying about what to share specifically about this group, is I feel like they moved the ECHO program forward in a very specific way. And this is the way. They did not only come in and do what was asked of them or what was expected of them or my vision, but they had vision of their own. So in the fall, we had talked about building relationship outside the four walls, and one of and Sean had a heart to go serve coffee at the bus stop. And he said, does anybody want to go? And all nine students rotated through. So two of them would go every Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, some morning. They would go early in the morning and just serve coffee to the community and build relationships at the bus stop. They chose at Christmas time to adopt their own community family and give them Christmas and stay connected with them throughout the year. With their own spending money, with sacrifice, they chose to do that. When we were in Honduras, we went to the poorest area of the community. We were talking one night about I said, I wish there was something we could do. It had hit my heart so, so strongly because it was absolutely people who had nothing. And it really came to our attention because they were asking us if they could have our trash, and which was humbling. And I had talked about that. And these leaders began to discuss what they could do. And they laid down their souvenir money to fund a feeding program in that area. We visited a boy's home, and God's put it on their heart that we can get. There's nine boys in the home, and when Austin asked, what can we do, what would be meaningful for you, the first thing they said was Bibles. We'd all like a Bible. And God laid that on their heart. They said Bibles and clothes, and that God laid that on our hearts to try to find funding to do that, to raise money to do that, and we're working on that. They have a heart for ministry. Even when I think they've had enough, I've given them days off over the last few weeks because we've been traveling, and they keep showing up. So I'll walk out of a meeting, and they're all there, like cleaning the car or doing this. I'm just like, it's your day off. But God's given them a heart. He's given them a heart for the broader community. And while this is their graduation from ECHO in the fall, we will be launching a leadership program where they will be working and living independently, but they're committing to 15 hours a week of serving in a ministry in a leadership capacity. And all four have signed up to come back. They know at this point, I'm pretty sure, that I believe in them, but more importantly, that I trust their judgment. And that's a good place to end up, right? Okay. So at this time, I'm going to ask Chad to come and join us as we present them one by one, and then we'll have the staff and the council, whoever's here, ECHO Leadership, I'd like to come over and just pray over them as we tell them job well done. To my right is Brent. You heard his beautiful voice. Brent has a heart of a worshiper, a spirit of a worshiper. He's been through some really difficult things and some really difficult battles. And what I love about him is that he never loses that tender heart for others. He is the most compassionate, loving ECHO on the team, and I think maybe ever. And that's because he has a worshiper heart. And I love and appreciate you. Congratulations. Next is Austin. You've heard our story. Austin is absolute fire. He is strong leadership. And he's just honest, though. Like, I can battle with somebody if they're just being honest with me, you know? And so that never really bothered me. I depend on Austin a lot, especially when we're traveling and when we're doing different things, because he's learned to think like me. That's why he's so brilliant. But a great deal of strength and a definite heart for ministry. Come on now. Now there's Miss Heather, one of our North Rock own. And Heather's heart is just for relationship. And I've watched her fumble through and be willing to do anything for a relationship. And this year, I cannot tell you, and we've had this conversation, none of this surprises them. What some of our biggest joy, just not just mine, but the whole team, is when we watch Heather just be herself, and she has formed relationships across the country. We go, when we travel now, there's people who know her, who seek her out, who seek time alone with her. I love to watch her interact with children in just such a free, organic way, and they just come to her. And she truly has learned who she is. And it's funny because when the light bulb comes on, she'll sit and she'll just like, this is me. This is me. And so I'm just thrilled with who she is and what God's done for her. And finally, Sean. Sean and Debbie have something in common in that we're both drivers. Drivers. And so when we both get intense, it's really bad for the whole team. But I've watched him come in and learn to submit that back to God and say, I know you made me for this, but I want to do it in an effective way and in a godly way, in an obedience to whatever you're telling me. And so he has brought a lot of change to his own life and then challenged the heck out of the rest of us as he grasped those truths. We love to rip him apart to keep him humble. And to the point that they joke about our team model is just be better than Sean. But seriously, I appreciate, because I know the struggle, I appreciate people who are willing to be vulnerable and open and let God just break them and know that he's breaking them for purpose. And in his love and in his grace. And you've modeled that well for the team. And I love you. So we can have the staff and the council come and just pray over them. And we leave.
You bet. Well, you can tell from Pastor Chad's attire that he only dresses once for the day. Okay? So it's either cool and collected at church on Sunday morning so that we're cool and collected at the barbecue tonight, or vice versa. You determine which one I chose, right? Can I just say, just for a moment before we pray for these young people, just how incredibly proud we are of you. The work that you've done has impacted this community, this church, in ways that will echo into eternity. It'll be something that the next generation will feel because you've invested in them. And as the generation that goes before you, we say thank you. We honor you. And it made me think this morning of a verse from Joel chapter 2 that says, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon you, upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. That's my prayer over you as a group, that you've done the work, you've prepared your hearts for God to lead you and pour out his spirit in you day in and day out for the rest of your lives. And we're so thankful to have participated in some portion of that. Would you please just extend your hand towards this group? By doing so, all you're doing is saying, we believe in this group. We believe in what Jesus is doing in them. And we're thankful for what he is doing. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these young men and these young women who you have ordained for the purposes that you created them for. Lord, we thank you for the clarity, the power, and the presence of your spirit in the midst of them. Lord, we acknowledge that, that it's not the vessel that makes the vessel clean. It's you. It's not the vessel that makes the vessel do what you've called it to do. Lord, it's your spirit. And so, Lord, I pray with ever-increasing measure, you'd pour out your spirit in these days ahead. Pray, Father, that those visions, those dreams that they have, the prophesying of speaking your word over their lives would be something that impacts everyone around them, their families, their communities, their workplaces. And fathers are stepping into a new season of a different type of leadership pain and pressure in a leadership development program. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them, you would give them vision for that, and that the ministry that you have called them to would be fruitful in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
All right, Sean, don't go away. At this point, I'm turning the service back over to Sean, who will be preaching for us.
Hello. First and foremost, I just want to thank all of you guys for walking with me for these 2 years and just letting me build community with you guys. It's really impacted me more than any of you guys can understand. So I just want to give a big thank you to all of North Rock Church. And before we start, I just want to pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that I can be sensitive to your spirit and to what you're wanting me to say, what you're wanting me to speak, and that I can be obedient. And I pray for everybody in this room today that they can be listening also to what you're speaking to them individually, and that all this is to glorify your name. Amen. Oh, man, so yesterday I went up to the mountains and, you know, like all the way up above tree line, and like I was like walking up this these stairs, and like I was like completely out of breath, and that's how I feel right now. I'm pretty nervous, but just wanted everybody to know. So, yeah, if I'm like breathing really heavy in the mic, just it's fine. So I just wanted to share with you guys a little bit of what I've learned in Echo. We talked about it quite a bit. The words authentic, honest was thrown out about our relationships, and that can't be more true. The number one thing that I've learned, and I'm pretty sure every other person that's graduating and even the first years have learned, is how to have true, authentic relationship with the people around you. And it's not as easy as what it sounds. It's super hard. It's super difficult. Sometimes it feels pretty rough, you know, when everybody's like trying to keep you humble, you know, it's not fun, but you know that they're speaking truth and you know that they're doing it out of love to build you up and ultimately make you a better human. And something that I've came to realize in these past 2 years is that all relationship, no matter what, has to be built on love. The foundation of relationship is love. And Jesus sums this up really well in the New Testament. He gives us two commands. The first one is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's pretty easy to do, right? You know, just love people, love God. It's not that hard. And we were talking, and Debbie said, it's simple, but challenging. It's simple, but it's one of the hardest things that you're ever going to do, one of the things you're going to have to work at every single day for the rest of your life. But I think when Jesus said this, he did it in order on purpose, because first you have to love God, and then you have to love the people around you. Because if you're not filled with the love of God first, then there's no way you can love the people around you. And 1 John 4:19 says this really well. It says, we love because he first loved us. Let me say that again. We love because he first loved us. Everything that we do comes out of us loving God. You see, we're called to be disciples to the people around us, but if we don't love God, we can't even do that, because discipling is forming people into, you know, they follow you and become like you. And if you don't love God, we sure do not want two of you in the church. So, and I believe that that is where it truly all starts. We have to know that we know that we know where we stand with God before we can do that anywhere else in our lives. Everything that we do has to be an overflow out of that love that we have. And 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. And that, I believe, can kind of be an anthem for your relationships in life. It can be an anthem not only for the people that you really want to love, you know, the people in your family, the people that are easy to love, but also your enemies and the people at work, you know, that just annoy you. And when you've had a really bad day and you're standing in the line at the grocery store and the person in front of you is just taking forever, like they forgot their money, you know, and you're just getting super frustrated. But love covers a multitude of sin. And I believe that is one of the most important things to show people every single day. Because when you are in relationship with people, Hold on a second. When you're in relationship with the people around you, you can ask any one of these guys. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be, you're going to operate out of your insecurities, and there's going to be conflict. There's going to be trials. And not only with the people really close to you, but with the people that are kind of on the fringes. And when you're able to love them and love them through their sin and love them through your hurts and love them through your insecurities and their insecurities, all that is a foot in the door for God's love to come into their life. You see, when they know that they hurt you, when people see that they've done something to wrong you, they know it. But when that doesn't define your relationship, when the love inside you defines your relationship, it changes the whole dynamic. See, they'll see that, and then they'll begin to question, they'll begin to ask, and when that happens, you can just point them back to God. You can say, no, this love in me isn't mine, this love in me is God's love, and that'll point them back to the one who can actually love them beyond anything that they can even know, anything they can actually feel with their humanly bodies. And so that's a little bit of how to love the people around you. But what I had to learn first is to feel the love of the people around me. You see, relationships are a two-way street. And when I came into Echo, man, I was so messed up. I was so messed up. Like they said, they had to keep me humble, and that can't be more true. I thought I was like the coolest thing since sliced bread, you know? And I was showing every. She said at first, you know, we didn't feel like family, and that's true because the only thing they saw of me is what I wanted them to see. And we all do that. No matter you, we don't want to really think about that, but we all do it. I know I still do it in some areas. This isn't just for you guys. This is definitely for me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. But we often put on masks. You know, we get uncomfortable and we revert to sarcasm. We get uncomfortable and we only show people what we think they want to see. And the only problem with that is you look really good, but you don't feel their love. They can say they love you, but what are they loving? Are they loving the mask that you show them, or are they actually loving you? See, they don't actually know you, so they can't actually love you. You have to let people see you. You have to let people know you before they can even actually truly love you, and you can actually feel that. And so when I came in, I was caught in this trap of pleasing the people around me and being fake and trying to be the perfect person, not only in my relationships but with God. And that's really where it all starts, like I said. And so in my prayer life even, I was only telling God what I think he wanted to hear. I would repent for my sins. I would ask for forgiveness for my sins, but I wouldn't invite him into those areas. And so I didn't even know the love of God. I couldn't feel the love of God. And so when I came in, my whole life I'd lived in the church, but I constantly went in and out of being actually devoted to the church. I would go to church on Sunday mornings, but then every single other day of the week, I would do my own thing. I would do what I wanted to do. And that's because I knew God, but he didn't know me because I didn't let him know me. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now that you know God, or rather known by God," I'm just going to stop there for a second. "Now that you know God, or rather known by God." Like I said, I can know God, but if he doesn't know me, then it doesn't mean anything. If I don't invite him into those areas, into my insecurities, into my hurts, then what does it even matter? He's a gentleman. He's only going to come where he's invited. So we have to invite him into those areas. We have to admit that those areas are actually a part of us. We have to admit to him, the person that actually knows us, the person that knows where we've been, where we're going, every single hair on our head. It sounds a little crazy because you're like, well, God knows everything. But he's only going to come and restore the areas that we ask him to restore. It says ask, seek, and knock, and that's what we have to do. We have to ask him to come into those areas before he's actually going to do any work. And so it says, "But now that you know God, or rather known by God, how is it that you are turning back to these weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You see, when you're truly known by God and he begins to work in your life, like I've experienced in the past 2 years, there's no more weaving in and out of church and weaving in and out of your faith. You don't want to turn back to those weak and miserable forces. You have true relationship with God, and there's nothing better than that. Knowing that he loves you through it all, and he knows every part of you, you're willing to tell him absolutely anything. You're willing to tell him that you don't even believe he exists. And he begins to come into that area and begins to work in that area of your life. And not only does your relationship with God change because it's honest and it's authentic and it's true, but when you have that with God, you want that with everybody around you. And so when I first experienced that with God, when I was able to tell God anything and he loved me through it, I was able to do that with the people around me. And there's no contentment with a superficial relationship. You know when we're like a few minutes ago and we're like, hey, how are you? Good, I'm doing good. Yeah, you're doing good. We're all doing just fine. This is great. That's so unfulfilling for me now. It's ridiculous. You know, last Sunday I was not doing good. I wasn't. I got my wallet stolen the day before and some people were asking me and I was like, man, I'm not doing good. And God blessed me beyond anything that I could imagine, because then people actually have the opportunity to pray for you. Then you can actually have true relationship with the people around you. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy, it's messy, it's vulnerable. You have to be honest. You have to be like, man, you hurt me. And he's like, well, you hurt me. And then it starts and you have a real relationship. But the scariest thing is you have to open up to the people around you when you're not comfortable. You have to open up and talk about how they've hurt you. And then you hit this pivotal moment where they have to choose to love you. It's not, love isn't an emotion, it's a choice every single day. You have to choose to love the people around you. And that's ultimately where you go back, and it's because you love God and his love is in you. And so you can love the people around you even through their sins, because his love covers a multitude of sins. And so that's pretty much all I have right now, is on relationship at least, is that's about it. But now I'm going to challenge you guys in putting it as a priority in your life. Because you can talk about this, just like I said, you can sit here on a Sunday morning and talk about relationship and be like, wow, that's a good word, man. And then go back home and do whatever you want every other day of the week. I did it for 18 years. It's totally fine. But you have to make it a priority in your life. Relationships just don't happen. You can't just be in a room with somebody and expect your relationship to grow. It has to be a true priority in your life. We're all super busy. We all have things that we have to do, and we all have priorities in our life. And a lot of times, we don't think of relationships as being a priority. Let me say that just one more time. And Brent, can you come up and play this song? It's not just, relationship isn't just spending time with each other. It's making it a priority. And I believe that God's speaking to each and every one of you guys this morning about a relationship, about stepping out in truth with the people around you, about stepping out in truth with God, and just about being honest with the people around you, because that is what relationships based on, honesty and love. Because if you're honest about your sin, if you're honest about things in your life, then people can come in with love and begin to love you and show you the true love of God, and you can begin to have true, authentic relationship with the people around you. And like I said, it's going to be messy, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be uncomfortable. But once you step out, once you take that leap of faith and you know true, authentic relationship with God and you know true, authentic relationship with the people around you, there's no going back. There's no settling for anything less than that. And so we're going to end with this song. I'm going to close out the service right now. And I just want everybody to just get quiet with God and ask him, what relationship he wants you to begin making a priority in your life today, where he's wanting you to step out, where he's wanting you to take a step of faith ultimately in beginning to have authentic relationship and beginning to feel the love that covers a multitude of sin. So Brent's just going to play for a little while, and we're just going to get quiet. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask that we just exit whenever you feel good. And there's going to be some people down in front if you feel like you can't do this on your own, because there's some heavy stuff. I went through it. We've all went through it. There's some heavy stuff that we all have in our lives and our relationships, and it's overwhelming, and you need prayer. So if you need prayer, just come to the front. There's going to be people more than willing to talk to you, to pray for you about absolutely anything. But that's it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for speaking. I thank you for speaking to me this morning. I thank you just for speaking to everybody here this morning. I pray that we can walk in boldness this morning and just take what you're speaking to us and just walk in obedience, walk in a way that we've never walked before with you and with the people around us. And I just pray for everybody here that they can just feel the love of your love that covers a multitude of sins this morning. I pray that over each and every person here, the sins that you never even wanted to talk about. I pray that we can just know that they're in your hands this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.